Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another episode of the Speak the Truth podcast. I'm your host, Matt Tardio. Fighting has intensified over inside of the Gaza Strip. We have a very key city that is now being reported as surrounded by the IDF, and the IDF ended up taking its first casualty of Operations Gideon's Chariot. As far as I can tell, anyways, it would certainly appear that way. The IDF ended up making their announcement today. As we're waiting on people to roll in here this morning, I'm going to go ahead and play this news interview for you from a colonel in the IDF. He's an IDF spokesperson over from I-24 News.
Don't change our goals. Number one, dismantle Hamas terrorist capabilities and to make all the hostages back to Israel. These two goals are there. We are here in a new phase of the situation against Hamas in the Gaza Strip. Since the 7th of October 2023, we're in a war against Hamas. Hamas is still holding 58 hostages in the tunnels and dungeons of Gaza. And for now, in spite of talks that you talked about just before, nothing is moving on. And we said very, very clearly, if Hamas is laying down the weapons and is relieving the hostages, war is over. For now, we have to continue to make the hostages back to Israel and dismantling Hamas terrorist capabilities. Concerning the early warning that we are giving to the population, it is very important for us to warn the population to move from one point to another point in order to make them, to prevent them to be in the middle of the combat area. It is a key point, and we are continuing to do so in order, again, I repeat, to prevent civilians from Gaza to be involved in the combat areas.
And of course, Olivier, much concern about how this military pressure could potentially impact the safety of the hostages still being held in captivity in the terror tunnels in Gaza. Talk to us about that concern, how it impacts the fighting unfolding as we speak.
Of course, and clearly it's a concern, and we are taking all the—
For those of you that have missed it, if you guys missed the intro, we've got a key city that's being surrounded inside of Gaza right now. We also have the first reported casualty of Gideon's Chariot. And the supreme leader of Iran made an announcement not that long ago that I think is going to get the crap. That's it. We got all that stuff going over. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm just waiting on a couple more folks to roll in here before we end up getting the show on the road. Hope you guys are enjoying the new audio. Got that sucker fixed for you because I know you guys love it so much.
The measures in order to prevent hostages all by Hamas to be hurt, to be involved in this situation against Hamas. That's why we are moving on according a clear and a gradual plan, military plan, with full coordination with the hostage units dealing with the rescue and the return of the hostages from the Gaza Strip. And nothing is done without this coordination with this special unit, which is from the very beginning with Major General Nitzan Alon and other members of security agencies in charge of this very delicate and sensitive file. I would like just to reiterate and to repeat, for Israel, for the IDF, it is a priority to free all the hostages, to make them back home to Israel, the alive ones and the dead ones. At the same time, we'll continue to dismantle and we'll not leave Hamas as a threat being in Gaza and being a threat against Israeli communities, against Israel as a state. Hamas, I repeat, has attacked Israel, has declared war on Israel on the 7th of October, and we cannot continue to have this regime of death, regime of insanity in Gaza threatening Israel.
Well, at least he's being honest about it. Good morning from South Dakota. Always appreciate the information, Matt. Hope all is well. Yeah, you know, the only thing that's not well this morning is my voice. I've been sucking down a bunch of honey, trying to get that sucker to come back. I got a little bit more of it right now. A little bit of a more, how do I want to say this? Like a rough night or so to say that with the sickness that I've been dealing with. But it's on its way out right now. Kristen Allen says, Matt, question, do you think Hamas is no hostages are found? What do you think will happen? I think if no hostages are found, they're just going to take the people that they do find and interrogate the crap out of them until they get them back, or they're just going to continue to clear. Let's just face the reality here that at the end of the day, there's going to be some of those hostage bodies that are never found. It's just going to be the way it is, and I'm preparing you for that ahead of time. I really hope but it's not true. I hope they're able to recover every single one of them. But just the way this type of stuff, generally speaking, works, I understand that Gaza is not that big of a location, but it literally is a needle in a haystack situation. When you start talking about all of the tunnels that they've already blown, all of the different like war that's been raging on, Hamas wanting to hide the bodies, reports of them being buried in civilian cemeteries and unmarked graves, things of that nature. It's a very low probability that they end up getting everybody back. Sergeant Sirach is the first casualty of Operations Gideon's Chariot. The IDF announced this just a couple hours ago, that he ended up falling over inside of Jabalia. And it would appear that he had sustained some wounds, small arms fire. He's from an engineer battalion. So they have engineers that are moving about Jabalia as well. And we know that they're going to have tanks and infantry over there. The word on the street is that Jabalia is now completely and totally surrounded. I had the map update for you guys yesterday where I ended up putting that out there. But here is well, where I told you that I'm pretty sure this is where they're going to end up going. This is the official press release from the IDF. You can see it's dated May 19th. It says Sergeant Sirach, age 22, from Harasha, a soldier in the 601st Combat Engineering Battalion, 401st Iron Trails, fell during combat in the northern portion of the Gaza Strip. This is one of those things that I know myself and lots of other people were worried about. Yeah, you're going to end up taking casualties. It's just how it's going to go. It's war. The problem is the amount of time that Hamas was allowed to dig in before the IDF was able to actually go in there. We're going to take a look at the map here in just a sec. I'm going to update you on a couple different positions. I'm going to take you down some fighting over inside of Gaza as well, with some brand new airstrike videos and a couple other things that came in. Tristan says, do you think Hamas could have smuggled them out into Egypt? Is that a possibility? Because I don't trust Egypt. You know, during the early portions of the war, I would tell you yes. You're going to see why after they ended up locking down the Philadelphia corridor. I don't think that was possible, even though we had the Philadelphia corridor knocked down at the time Sinwar was shot in the face. They still had the tunnel systems and things that were taking place. So if there was a tunnel system that the IDF was unaware of or did not locate that was like deep and, you know, like whatever, it is possible at that point that they could have done it. I highly doubt it because we ended up having those hostages get shot in the tunnel over inside of Rafah. I want to say it was August of last year, or maybe it was June of last year. It's so many of them that just kind of blend together. But is it possible? Yes, it's possible that they smuggled them out at one point in time. And that was a big concern. This is a bigger concern before I end up getting into it. And I'm waiting to see how, I guess, we end up reacting. This, what I'm about to show you is only about, let's see, 4:30 a.m. So it's about 5 hours stale or so, what I'm about to put up on the screen. And I know I told you guys that politics these days, for some reason, there's a lot of politics via Twitter, and the Supreme Leader and Donald Trump seem to be on the same page there. Okay, this is the Ayatollah of Iran, also known as the Supreme Leader. He's the leader of the IRGC. He's also one of the most radical nut jobs that this planet has ever known. And this is what he said. He said, for the Americans to say that we won't allow Iran to enrich uranium is utter nonsense. We aren't waiting for anyone's permission. The Islamic Republic has certain policies and it will pursue them. So this statement by the Supreme Leader that's up here on the screen, ladies and gentlemen, I want you to understand that this right here is going to be Iran's nail in their coffin. This is the Supreme Leader coming out and formally announcing. And again, I told you, he was angry tweeting over the weekend. A lot of his dang policies and stuff like that, he's just as bad as Donald Trump is, ended up getting blasted out over Twitter. And so for the Iranian Supreme Leader to say that they are going to continue to enrich uranium, that it is their priority, it is their policy, and this comes after threatening to wipe Israel off the face of the map, this comes after doing all sorts of other things, same page, FFS, the Supreme Dim Leader, I don't know what you guys are talking about. Okay, so again, if he was, listen, ladies and gentlemen, I see what's happening in the comment section down there. So just wait and see what ends up happening and wait and see what ends up coming out for that soldier's death. The fact is that he ended up falling in combat. If it was what we call a blue on blue incident, look, I've lost friends to blue on blue incidents. It sucks. And I can tell you that it happens to the best units in the military, and it happens a lot in combat. And when people, I guess, don't understand that have never been in combat, that have never experienced that type of stuff, that have never been around it, the actual chaos and confusion that goes into it. Sometimes we're, not even sometimes, like the vast majority of the time, We're not even familiar who it is we're shooting at. I can take you over to Iraq with like the United States military, and I can show you instances of like tanks firing on our own troops. I can show you instances of like Apaches doing the same. Everything else, like there's so many checks and balances that go into place in combat to make sure that that doesn't happen because of how confusing it can get. Like the word fog of war exists for a reason. And so if that is something that happened, I would wait. I would ask you to wait for the official investigation to come out, because even bringing that type of stuff up, I mean, that is really troubling for families. Number one, it's troubling for those who've got to like go through it and live with it. Matt is a blue on blue. I don't know what that means, Russinator. I have no idea what that even means when you end up saying that. But yeah, nail in the coffin for the Supreme Leader. Nail in the coffin for the Supreme Leader. This is going to be the U.S. airstrikes coming in. This is what's going to prompt that. This is what's going to prompt Israel to do it. This is what's going to prompt the United States to do it. This is why we moved the B-52s back down to Diego Garcia. The one thing that just pisses me off, like I said, is when it comes down to politics and what's being put out, I wish that our leadership would at least be quasi-honest about it. You know what I mean? Like if you're going to be dealing with terrorists like that, it's okay to be honest to the American people. We understand that they are not the most honest human beings, but we tried diplomacy in this case. And so now the diplomacy has failed and it's not going to go anywhere, which now means we got to step it up. I see people saying that he died because of blue on blue. I didn't see that, right? I didn't see that in official press release. I didn't see that anywhere. So if there's rumors of it that are flying around online, I suggest you keep it to yourself until it's confirmed. Because you're going to feel like a complete and total jackass when you find out that he was demolishing a building, he went into a building, and the dang thing ended up blowing itself up. Any updates on Leibelsberger and October 1st? Leibelsberger, yes, and I'm contemplating how to do a video. I want to talk to somebody before I put that video out on Leibelsberger. I know some of you guys saw what I had said last night, and I absolutely mean exactly what I said, and there's more respect that I have than that to just go ahead and dump things out. Because that's more than me. I'm talking to the family before I do this. Bravo 6, the word you were looking for yesterday was jihadunists, countries complaining about aid in Gaza. Jihadunists, I like that. I could use that. I think we can make that happen. Here's a video from Gaza just to kind of give you a general overview of what it looks like right now. And I can't do like the sad music. They always end up playing that. But this is a pretty intense video, in my opinion, and it shows just how deep they are. You know, you've got some of these villages and stuff, or some of these towns that, you know, end up butting right up over to the Med. Every single one of these targets that ends up getting struck. And again, we say this, 40,000 people in an area the size of Las Vegas, nobody really freaking like can wrap their head around that. When I say 40,000 trigger pullers, and then I say 25% of the population, or right around 400 to 450,000 are direct support of Hamas inside of the Gaza Strip. This is what that looks like. Right. And we see like the damage and destruction that goes along with it, especially when they're using caches, they're using hit and run techniques. They're not standing and fighting. They're doing all those little things. I mean, this is the end result of that. And this is why the people in Gaza are now starting to get a little bit frustrated. I still stand by my statement when I say the people in Gaza need to sleep in the bed in which they made, which this is the bed they made. They totally crapped it. Josh Earnhardt coming in, gift and I speak the truth membership. Praise you, Josh. But this is the bed that they made, and that's the bed that they get to sleep in. Nothing but a bunch of destroyed rubble. You know, they could have done things like, you know, the Germans did during World War II. They could have tried to, like, develop an underground freaking railroad, for crying out loud, and at least smuggle some of these hostages around, keep them safe, alert the IDF, any of that. I'm unaware of any of that actually taking place. IDF offered up a lot of money in order to get them out. People chose not to do that. They offered them safe passage if they were holding onto the hostages. We found out that the hostages are being held inside journalist homes, civilian homes, all sorts of freaking different places. Nobody took to it. Why? Because they don't care. So, yeah, it's an issue for me. IDF operational update that ended up coming out. They said in the north, Mats Deeb, the commander of Hamas's missile and rocket array, was eliminated by the IDF in northern Gaza. Let me open this map up for you guys. I thought I had it opened up. I lied to you. Let me open up my mapping here. So Mohammed Deeb killed over inside northern Gaza. They said that he got killed up over here in this general vicinity. Didn't lay it out exactly, but that's where he ended up going. Now, for your operational update of what's been happening over the last like 24 to 48 hours, this is where it kind of gets interesting. I've got a video allegedly coming up here in a little bit. Remember how I told you that the IDF was moving in on the Indonesian hospital and that there was a big battle basically that ended up taking place where allegedly IDF tanks had fired on it. And people had said that the hospital ended up getting destroyed. Then I showed you videos and stuff like that of people like wheeling freaking patients away from the hospital, allegedly. I've got a video coming out of that hospital that shows what I believe to be some of the initial contact that was taking place outside of it. And 100%, it looks like either Hamas was fighting from the hospital or on the hospital grounds itself. The reason they're doing that is if you look at the main like supply routes that are running through there, here we have the Jabalia refugee camp that's like situated like right down here. You guys see Jabalia. This is the northern border of Jabalia, and that hospital rests right in between. So if the IDF, which is reported right now to have completely surrounded it, D-Rock coming in, gifting out 5 Speak the Truth memberships. Appreciate you, brother. If the IDF was going in to completely surround Jabalia, they 100% this general Biet Lahaya road right here, right? You guys see it, the main road, the Indonesian hospital is right off that. And if they want to isolate Jabalia, which I'm going to remind you guys of what took place there here in just a minute, they're going to have to lock down this MSR right here, this main freaking route, this main hardball road. They're going to go in and have to lock that down all the way up over here to all of Falaja. All right, and bring it all the way down and then figure out, because this, refugee camp market, stuff like that. I believe it was actually right down here in this exact neighborhood. Yes, that is correct. This is actually the area in which I believe they ended up finding one of the hostage bodies when they were down in there. There was a tunnel system that ended up going across these two streets. And I love now that we have updated satellite imagery and you can see that these buildings are indeed destroyed. But I believe that was the area in which they found the... It's a nightmare. So IDF's going to have to come down. They might go all the way down to Al-Quds and cut the whole thing off. I'm not sure what that surround looks like, but the word that I'm getting right now is that they have surrounded Jabalia. And so now they're going to proceed with like this methodical clearing method of it. And that's a pretty large like space. You guys got to understand that they have those like high rise freaking, well, maybe not high rise, but they have the refugee camps that are within there where, again, we ended up finding the hostage body tossed down in a tunnel system off of the first floor last year when they went in there. And so they're going to now have to go through and methodically clear everything. This is not going to be like it was last year where they go in a little bit and then they come back out. This is going to be one of those sustained operations that they're going in, hitting, and clearing as they go through. So it's going to be very intense fighting over the next couple of days. They also ended up, like remind you guys, like while they're over inside of Jabalia, they also ended up finding, what the hell was it? They ended up finding weapons production sites. They ended up finding all of this crap, like right outside of those different refugee camps. So I would assume that most of those fighters are going to end up like sticking in there. Now the IDF took it a step further and they said that the Israeli Air Force has struck over 100 targets throughout Gaza. In northern Gaza, they went after a weapons storage facility, Paris, a military structure used by the Islamic Jihad in which weapons were stored, and underground infrastructure that was struck. In southern Gaza, they said that they ended up targeting terrorists, military compounds, and observation compounds. Pretty flipping interesting. There's something that I wanted to show you guys because it kind of goes directly in line before we get into it. Here it is. This is an image that ended up coming out. And I wanted to know after they cut off the Philadelphia corridor, how they were getting new weapons, equipment, and ammunition and stuff like that into Gaza. Well, the IDF actually ended up putting this out not that long ago. I believe it was over on Telegram, on their official Telegram channel. And what they said was that they shot this drone down on its way from Egypt over into Rafah. So they shot a drone down that was carrying all of this. All of those freaking pistols, all of those magazines, all of those guns. So it looks like once the Philadelphia corridor was shut down, that this shit was getting flown in from the Sinai Peninsula into Gaza. I had wondered myself how they were making it happen, and it would appear drones, and it makes sense how that happened. I remember the first report of drones, like civilian drones like this, that I remember hearing, and it was actually when I was overseas in 2012. I was working in the Joint Operations Center, the JOC. At the time, I was the JOC NCO, and we got reports that the Taliban was actually putting explosives on the bottom of drones and were flying them up over onto the base. And I remember thinking back then, I was like, number one, that's genius. But number two, warfare is going to change now. Like the moment I heard the Taliban putting a little bit of explosives, because they weren't that powerful back then, right? You're talking, 13 years ago? Drones weren't that powerful back then. But this is the point now where we've got just a little over a decade later to where you were literally flying in a bunch of freaking guns and stuff. Now, do I think that all of these were on one? I don't know, man. That's a big ass drone. Do I think that maybe there was multiple that they end up sending over? Because I wouldn't want to, I personally wouldn't want to put all my eggs in one basket in order to make that happen. But they said that in total, it was 19 handguns, 3 machine guns. And that's a lot of crap. I mean, that is a buttload of equipment. And it would appear that that's how they've been smuggling it in. I could be wrong, but that's what it would appear. I definitely wouldn't put them all in one craft, though. Ay, ay, ay. All right, clearing operations down inside Rafah, it looks like, are still taking place. This is why I'm a big fan of bombing before we get into Jabalia. Again, this is why I'm a big fan of bombing. Why are you still up on my screen? This is why I'm a big fan of bombing, because, you know, you're going to have engineers, they're going to have to go and do this stuff. And before they go in and do this, and again, these are military engineers that are doing this right now. We are not even talking about civilian engineers. They're going to have to come in and clean up behind them. All right. So, you know, prior to all this happening, you're going to have those engineers go in. They're going to end up checking that building for freaking mines. They're going to assess it structurally, which clearly this one's freaking shot. And they're going to have to do this. You know, they're going to have to go in and just knock everything over. Good freaking truck. And somebody asked, they noticed they were speed loaders that were included. Yeah, most of the time now, if you haven't bought a pistol in a while, the brand new pistols that you end up buying do in fact end up coming with them. All right, let's take a look up over here on this map. Brand new update. Jonathan Wilson coming in, gifting out 20 Speak the Truth memberships. Greatly appreciate you guys. Hey, do me a favor. By the way, like this stream and share this stream. We've been getting suppressed pretty hard. I got hit by sex bots. No kidding. I started speaking out on X again against all of this crap, and I couldn't help but notice that the moment I did that, my X account gets freaking slapped with a bunch of freaking bots, and then the YouTube account ends up getting slapped with a bunch of bots, and I just watch all of the growth come to a halt. And then they end up attacking the like videos the moment I post them or the moment I go live, and they'll click and then exit back out a bunch of different times. So it makes it look like what I'm saying nobody gives a crap about. YouTube doesn't prioritize it in the algorithm, and it ends up hurting me. So do me a favor, help me out by smashing that like button, and help me out by making sure you're subscribed to the channel. Help me out by making sure that you're sharing this with people that are wanting to watch content like this. Right. It absolutely matters, and it absolutely helps out. And I need you guys' help to make sure that you don't let these freaking nut jobs win that are trying to suppress information as it gets out. So hit that like button, smash that sucker's free support. And guys like John Wilson, greatly appreciate you. Those gifts, those likes, everything that you guys do 100% helps this channel. So thank you guys very much for what you do and helping to keep this word out. Now, I showed you earlier a different overlay of what it had looked like. And if you guys like these types of things up in the top right corner of the screen, I'll make it bigger so we can give them freaking credit of who ended up coming up with this particular graphic. But I want you to be able to focus right down over here in the bottom right corner, right, where it's got Jabalia, all right, down over there. And you can see that the IDF has moved in pretty intensely. Again, down over here inside of Khan Yunis, it looks like more evacuation orders were given. We're going to go over that here in just a little bit. Jabalia, I ended up seeing an airstrike, but more importantly, the Almawasi area that's up over here in the top left, this ended up coming out right before I ended up going live, is where I found it, was over in the Almawasi area. They have, issued a complete and total evacuation, pushing those people and telling them to move inward. So I don't know where they plan on them going unless it's going to be over here into this general vicinity and they're going to start processing them in. I'm going to be really curious to find out how they intend on taking these Gazans from where they're at into this zone right down here, the humanitarian zone. I've been doing it. The first couple shipments of humanitarian aid have, in fact, made their way into Gaza, just as promised by the IDF. Man, the audio is so sweet. Hey, I'm telling you, man, I spent some freaking time on this crap. And while you guys can tell that my voice is shot right now, I've been slamming some honey, like trying to get my voice back. But I sat here, trying to get this crap straight yesterday. So I hope you guys are enjoying it. All right, so this is the Almawasi area. I ended up getting it. Khan Yunis ended up getting another evacuation order. And like I said, the Jabalia, the city of Jabalia ended up being surrounded overnight, or so I've heard. So that means that they pushed past that Indonesian hospital and that they've been able to get the whole place cordoned off. Now, that's exactly what they ended up doing last time. Here's the evacuation notice that ended up getting given for Almawasi, like I ended up telling you guys about. Audio is crisp and clear, 5x5. I'm glad you guys are enjoying it, man. You know, I hate not being perfect. And so when you guys tell me that it's not perfect, believe me, it's a thorn in my side. I didn't want to spend as much time getting the audio as tight as it is right now, because this is like the new permanent freaking bunker. You know what I'm saying? This is where I'm coming at you guys from now on. So enjoy it. Love it. This is where it's coming at you from now on. This is the type of content. If you guys didn't watch the video yesterday, go watch it. Let me know if you like that editing style. Let me know if you like all of that ended up like kind of unfolding and going down. I loved it. Time to switch back. You guys want me to go back to crap audio? Okay, I'll do that. I'll go back to the crap audio. It says from this moment on, the Khan Yunis district is considered a dangerous combat zone. The terrorist operations brought the disaster. Evacuate immediately. So there you go. Khan Yunis is going to be the next place. It's going to end up getting surrounded. They're going to push past it, and they're issuing out the orders for Almawasi. Right now, there is several different ways that the IDF can end up taking the Almawasi area. Now, I doubt if the IDF was smart, they wouldn't do it because they would have. I don't want to say this. And let me go back to the map to show you guys this. If we end up looking at where Almawasi is, which is right up over here, you know, on basically the top left corner of your screen, and it knuckles up right next to that humanitarian aid zone, right? But you see right here, it's a Katan H outpost right down here. This is one of the locations that we know the IDF, it looked like it set up a screening location. Another thing down over here, obviously the Gaza airport base, okay, but the humanitarian aid ended up coming in through this border crossing down here. I'm struggling to remember the name of it off the top of my head as I'm running through this, but if they're going to go in and they're going to take Almawasi, I really don't think that they should be pushing out from the humanitarian zone in order to do it. It doesn't, like, that's going to open them up for attacks. Just kind of like, it works both ways, right? How the IDF is talking about, you know, Hamas is using hospitals, Hamas is using freaking structures and buildings and blah, 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 mosques, whatever. They're no longer protected facilities because they're launching operations from that. That means that if they end up launching an attack on Almawasi from out of the humanitarian aid zone, that's going to open them up for attacks, in my opinion, and they're going to lose credibility. But when they end up saying that Khan Yunis is now like that active combat zone into GTFO, well, that to me is signifying go down south, get into the freaking humanitarian aid zone, and or push to the outskirts and get away from it. That happens. I'm hoping that they don't launch their attack out of the humanitarian zone that they have established and worked so hard to freaking clear out. If they do that, it's going to open it up to attacks by Hamas. It's just bad juju. Don't do that. But pushing through Khan Yunis and then kind of pinching off Almawasi in the end, that'll work out pretty good. I'm not too concerned. Almawasi itself had a little bit of trouble last year when the IDF had gone in there and maneuvered into that area. We saw lots of airstrikes and things like that. This is probably what I'm about to put up on your screen. One of my favorite flyers that the IDF ended up dropping off. This one ended up landing reportedly over inside Deir Abala. And it says, residents of Gaza, the IDF is coming. Residents of Gaza, the IDF is coming. And it's a clear reference to the Red Sea being parted. Throwing that out there. Very clear reference to the Red Sea being parted. And that means a lot to the Jewish people, obviously. But also, they know exactly what it's talking about right there. So I don't know. I just love that one. Now we're going to get over. Okay. Like I said, I've got videos coming out of the hospitals. This is the Al-Awda hospital. All right. It from the Jabalia camp or Jabalia camp. This is reportedly a video that ended up coming out last night, from that particular hospital. And I want you guys to pay attention. I think we're going to see, and if I remember right, there's going to be an airstrike, literally right outside this hospital. No way. Israel did that? You don't say.
المكان في مكانها محيطنا. هاي دخلت جوا المستشفى دخلت اشوف هاي جوا المستشفى دخلنا مش عارف جوا المستشفى الضربه
جوا في المستشفى
شباب الضربه في المستشفى يا اما بيت ملاصق للمستشفى
خلي واحد هنا خلي هاي من روح هاي اول واحد يطلع
شباب شباب يعطيكم العافيه الان استهداف عنيف جدا على باب مستشفى العوده في منطقه تل الزعتر اعمده الدخان دخلت على اقسام المستشفى.
Something about Al-Aqsa. Gotta love it when they always reference Al-Aqsa. Okay, so what exactly did they strike? So let's take a good look at this right before we get in there. Now, we saw this numerous times. Muhammad, watch out. Boom. Yeah, exactly. We saw this when the IDF was going into hospitals initially, when they went in following October 7th, and they were looking for the hostages, which we now know that Hamas ended up taking them to the hospitals. That's confirmed via CCTV footage and a ton of other things. But the surrounding buildings, I remember watching it, the surrounding buildings around Al-Shifa and several other locations, you had Hamas that was hiding in the buildings. They ended up having rockets and all sorts of other things that were set up, pointed directly out from those freaking buildings. And so when I see videos like this, number one, this isn't a direct hit on the hospital. They clearly were not targeting the hospital. It looks like they were targeting a Hamas position directly outside the hospital because that's kind of what, you know, they do. So we look at it, you can see the flash all the way down here, down the street. And it is a pretty big flash. That's the first one that we end up seeing in this shot. All right, so it wasn't even across the street. We're talking way down the street where the IDF ended up doing it. And when the video is played at full speed, you don't really get to see that. All right, so it looks like IDF is like slamming shit like right outside the hospital. No, we're talking about 300-400 meters down the road where this sucker ended up impacting. Right, and if you take a look at the building in which it ended up striking, you'll see that it's set up at the end of that road. There's a road that's leading straight out from the ER that goes down, and then you see a row of buildings at the end of it. Obviously, if I wanted to set up a decent ambush, I want good fires going all the way down that road because the IDF is going to want to go check those hospitals for all the hostages. And that location within itself would be a good spot to actually set up with a gun team or several other freaking people as you're waiting on those troops to go by. I don't know what was inside of that building, and I don't know why the IDF ended up targeting it. But to me, it makes perfect sense from an enemy perspective, enemy point of view. Again, you see the big flash up on the screen. It makes it appear as though they ended up knocking out a bunch of buildings. They didn't. They took out one key building all the way at the end of the street, and they likely had a good reason to do it. Let's see if I can get that flash back up. Probably not. Either way, here you go. Let's watch it now. And that's not even a big bomb, to be perfectly honest with you. That was a much smaller bomb, so it makes me wonder what Hamas figures or anybody like that that was outside. Now, when we start talking about Jabalia, I want you guys to remember that Jabalia is the location in which this stuff was taking place last year. Do you guys remember this when they were talking? Yeah, I know you guys remember this, right? Where we were getting all of these adult men that were coming out. Here's your freaking leader. I forget this exact scenario, but it was like one of those like really important ones, right? Of when the IDF ended up going in and we ended up seeing that. All of that stuff, ladies and gentlemen, ended up coming out of Jabalia. And again, you know, hostages, hostage bodies, all of that crap, weapons, production facilities, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, all of that coming out of Jabalia. It is a very key location up in the northern portion of the Gaza Strip. It is a stronghold for Hamas, and Israel is going to be focusing very, very hard on this over the next couple of days. This is right outside of the Indonesian hospital, allegedly, excuse me. This is allegedly right outside of the Indonesian hospital over inside of Jabalia, or right outside of it. Don't ask me what ended up getting struck. I have no idea. I saw that actually got reported and somebody had confirmed it. This is first video I'm going to have for you guys is Beit Lahia, right outside of Jabalia. Let me come back up, just kind of refresh your guys' memory, make sure I've got the right map up before I do this. I got to kind of move things along as I go. Okay, so we're talking about Beit Lahia, right? All the way out here. Okay, so you have Beit Lahia right up over here, and then obviously you have Jabalia. So these two videos are going to be directly across kind of from each other. You're talking within a couple hundred meters. So likely we knew that the IDF had staged over here in Beit Lahia. So it's possible that they ended up pushing it directly down in order to start cutting them off as well. I would assume that, you know, you obviously have your tactical plans and your like plans for your different objectives and things like that. And I think this is kind of one of those things where they ended up putting pressure in, pushing up from here, as you can see, and then also pushing down over here on the backside to kind of cut it off. I'm a big fan of that, making sure that you knock those operations out in that particular way, because if you just push in one direction without cutting them off from behind, then they can escape. So what this video kind of confirms for me is that the IDF did a very good job of kind of nipping it in the butt and making sure that nobody could squirt out the backside. And that's 100% the way to do this. And that goes back into what I was telling you guys about how the IDF stopped to be playing games. They told people to evacuate. They told them to get out of Dodge. And if they didn't get out of Dodge, well, that's that. So again, Beit Lahia. Next video that they have, like right over here, or excuse me, image is supposed to be Jabalia or Jabalia, where that ended up coming down and coming out of. So here you have Jabalia. Now, all of those things to me indicate that the IDF is not going to be, how do I want to say this, very, very pleasant. And I want you to, again, look at this video. This comes out of Jabalia as well, right? Here you have a Palestinian flag flying on top of rubble. Right, you have a Palestinian flag flying on top of rubble. Even right down over here, you guys see that one? It's either a Palestinian flag or a freaking Hamas flag that's kind of like being shoved into that little thing. But nobody lives inside of this rubble, right? They've all pushed out and gone. And you see that this guy's got his camera set up already, and it'll look at the freaking amount of like rubble and destruction. And I want you guys, like, even though this is a video that's about to show an airstrike, right? I want you to picture yourself being an IDF troop clearing through this area, and what a pain in the butt it's going to be for them just to search and clear this, right? Even these buildings and everything else that they have, now that they're all destroyed, there's only a couple ways, like on these structures that are still standing, there's only going to be a couple ways to actually get in there. And so as these troops are clearing through the ground and pushing through this area, they're going to have to find those particular ways to get into these buildings. And those particular ways are likely going to be booby-trapped. And so if they want to go in, let's say they've got, you know, somebody fighting from one of these freaking blown out buildings, right? Somebody's fighting from one of these blown out buildings, and you've got troops on the ground that need to go up, assault, and kill this guy because they can't always get airstrikes. Airstrikes are not magic, right? You can't always get them. And what Hamas is going to do is they're going to wait for the IDF to get in close. They're going to hit them with near ambushes, right? And these buildings where they're at, these buildings that just have a couple ways in or a couple ways out are going to end up being rigged. These videos are a very clear indicator that, like, that's what's taking place. I've seen numerous videos like this of people that are hiding off in the freaking rubble, right? That are taking videos of some different airstrikes and stuff. And that, in my opinion, is what the IDF is going to end up dealing with. Nope, that's not the video I thought it was, showing the airstrike coming in. Well, either way, it's a good video to show you what the freaking fighting situation is going to be like on the ground over there. More videos coming out of Jabalia right here. Just again, the level of destruction that's down here. And again, any single one of these buildings, and this is why when people are asking me, hey, are they going to get all of the hostages back? Dude, any single one of these buildings could have those hostages in them, like under the rubble. And so you're not going to get answers on this, I'm telling you, for years from now, we're going to end up hearing about people's bodies being recovered and or potential of bodies being recovered in DNA tests and everything else. Drones are very loud. I'm glad that somebody actually pointed that out. I hated having freaking drones overhead for that very reason, because even when they're flying at 30, 40,000 feet, when it's really quiet out, you can hear those suckers. It is just a loud ass hum. Even when they're like far off and away, I always felt like they'd be giving you away. And I just hate drones in general. Not a big fan. For those that missed it earlier, Khamenei ended up coming out. Well, no, let's not talk about that. We'll bring that up at the end. Here is a video following an airstrike over inside of Jabalia. Again, not getting a lot of videos of the strikes actually hitting. I think the IDF is done warning people, done doing their roof knocks, done doing all of that crap, because there's more videos like this coming out than there is of particular airstrikes.
عددا كبيرا من السكان تحت ركام هذه المنازل كما تشاهدون مجزرة جديدة يرتكبها الجيش الإسرائيلي في قلب مخيم جباليا كما تشاهدون الآن عدد كبير من الشهداء جدا في هذا المربع السكني الذي سوي بالأرض فوق رؤوس ساكنين في قلب مخيم جباليا كما تشاهدون تماما محاولات للانتشال تسامين الشهداء هنا في هذه المجزرة الإسرائيلية بحق عدد كبير من منازل المواطنين المهولة و...
It's like, I feel like there's more important things for them to do than whine and complain, but let's analyze this video for a hot sec, and let's just pay attention to all of the military-aged males that are in this video. And it's clearly in a location like I had just previously described in that other video where you have men that are just sitting around and waiting, right? Jambalaya, yep, that's what Rob used to call it. We're talking about the same exact city, right? We're talking about the same exact location inside of Gaza, right? Jabalia, I call it, Jabalia. I've called it Jabalia before. Rob's called it Jambalaya. Just when you're freaking talking live, man, you tend to make mistakes, and that's just how it goes. But yeah, Jabalia. Right. But yes, nothing but adult military age males, some like minors that are over there as well. Where are the freaking women? Where are the actual kids that would be running around with these families? It's nothing. It's a bunch of guys. And this is what Israel is going to end up facing. And this is the problem when it goes down to like terrorists that hide inside of populated areas. How do you determine the difference between the two of them? And the short answer is you freaking can't. You just absolutely can't. There's no way until you end up getting there. This is a inside view. Hold on. Let's start off with the outside view, and then I'll go to what I believe is the inside view. I ended up showing you guys this 2 kilometer long tunnel that the IDF blew up yesterday. New videos, if you will, ended up coming out of this sucker. Here you can see the IDF standing at one of the tunnel entrances. Clearly, they ended up blasting that sucker with a bunker buster or something beforehand getting in there. But there you see the tunnel entrance going down and into it. So 2 kilometer long tunnel that they ended up blowing up. Showed you guys this video yesterday. That's what that sucker looked like. Exactly what it looked like. I mean, we did estimates early on in the fighting over inside Gaza. And the estimates put, we had engineers and stuff that actually came on the show. And they said that between $750,000 to $1 million for 1 mile worth of this tunnel is about the cost that you could expect out of this sucker. A lot of that is going to go into, one, labor and construction, obviously. Two, that concrete. Ladies and gentlemen, concrete isn't cheap, particularly reinforced concrete that you would need in order to make things like this happen in that type of like soil. So there's a reason. Yeah, 2 kilometers, 2 kilometers, correct. 2 km, correct. That is a long, long tunnel system, 2 kilometers, right. That's over 1 mile for you guys that don't speak metric, 1.62 kilometers per mile. Right, so it's over 1 mile long. It is huge. That is a huge freaking tunnel system that the IDF ended up finding and blowing. And you could see how well constructed it is just based off of all of the different vents and the different shafts. You could see a vent right over here, smack dab in the middle. So it makes you wonder what else ended up coming off of there. You know, that's just the main tunnel system. It's going to have little offshoots and things like that. All of those are going to be like little prison cells and crap like that. That they're like, I mean, there's just tons of crap down in there. I'm going to take you down into a tunnel right now. This was allegedly 25 meters deep. This is a leaked video. It looks like that ended up coming out. And we're going to walk through a tunnel. I mean, take a look at this sucker, ladies and gentlemen. Take a look at it. That's pretty freaking, like, look at the construction right there on the wall. Look at the support pillars. Look at the support beams. This is what I'm talking about when I say that you're going to have those little rooms and offshoots. John Hughes just followed me on Twitter. Greatly appreciate you, brother. You're going to have these little freaking like offshoots and stuff like that when you have a tunnel that's over 1 mile long or 2 km long. This is the type of stuff that you're going to end up finding on it. There's no audio on this video, so just kind of like bear with it, but take a look at all of the different crap that's over inside of Gaza, right? That's inside of there. All the water bottles, all the trash. When I came across ISIS things like this, dude, it was creepy as hell. For those of you that have never had to cave dive or go spelunking or clear tunnels, it sucks. I'm not a big fan of it. And I feel really bad for the IDF having to deal with this shit right now because they've got hostages in there. For all of the people, because every time I talk about tunnels, it seems like it gets brought up every single time. Why don't they just flood them? Number one, they tried flooding these tunnels following, like, those rumors of the IDF flooding tunnels are real. But what they ended up doing was they'd end up having to go in and clear out the tunnel systems as is. All right, so they'd go and they'd clear them out, and then they'd try to flood that crap, because what they didn't want to do was kill any of the hostages that were down inside. They didn't want to do it, obviously, for obvious reasons. But that ended up being, like, a bigger pain in the butt for what it's worth. And so then it came down to collapsing them. Okay, now we're going to collapse tunnels. Well, the way you end up rigging tunnels takes a buttload of explosives. You got a picture over a mile long or 2 km tunnel system rigged with explosives. That's a major pain in the butt. That's a lot of explosives that you end up having to put in there. It's not as easy as people think to get rid of these. There's a reason why Hamas uses them. There's a reason why people used them during, like, World War I, World War II, and continue to use them to this day, because they're very, very effective, right? Just take a look at, like, look at that. The extensive freaking network that you're going to have inside of here is freaking huge. That is a serious freaking room that has some pretty serious construction. See the electrical wiring and stuff all running down the freaking walls. And you got a picture, you know, you're a soldier that's going through to clear this stuff. Okay, now I find what appears to be some freaking buddy's desk, right? Like, buried deep down inside of this thing. Now I'm worried about it being booby-trapped. I'm worried about all of this crap that's going on. If you're wondering what's going to take the IDF so long, it's because they're going to be dealing with stuff like this for the foreseeable future. And there's going to be places that they end up finding. There's going to be different offshoots. Some of this stuff I would expect that they end up, like, saving, right? If it's something like this, that it's really good, I hope the IDF ends up saving it and turning it almost into, like, a museum or something. If anyone donated to UNRWA, yeah, this is where your money probably went. But how is, like, how do you determine what's, like, you know, a lot of people think that it's really easy just to, like, go in and do this crap. But it's such a slow, methodical search because, number one, anything inside of here can explode. Anything inside of here can explode, right? Literally anything. Stepping on the carpets, you could step on a pressure plate. Any of these wires could be hooked up to a battery and not freaking AC. There could be trip wires throughout this freaking sucker, dude. There could be just things that are just evil, all right, inside of here. So it's a very slow, methodical process. And even after it's clear, it's not. Like, you might make sure that there's nobody inside of there, but then you get into the other portion, what we call, like, SSE, right? When I come across a desk area or something like that, sensitive site exploitation, going through and digging through that stuff. There can be smaller booby traps that are set up along there. You can have dogs run through there. But if I'm sending my dog inside of there, do I want my freaking dog to blow up a dang tunnel if it ends up making a mistake and hitting something it's not supposed to? It's a very annoying, methodical process. And Hamas has set this up to make it such a way for the Israeli Defense Force to have to deal with it. Your Hamas flag hanging on the wall over inside of that tunnel, in case anybody was curious. I don't know if you guys caught that at the very end. Put that back up on the screen. Wait for it. It's coming. Bam. Kind of hidden. But there you go. Right? Hanging out right there on the wall. So I think what's taking place over inside of Jabalia is going to take quite some time. This is a video that Funker530 ended up releasing. And it is of another ambush on IDF troops as they're moving into Gaza. I haven't observed this particular video before. I think it's brand new. I think it's factual. And I didn't watch it all the way through. I hate watching crap like this one time, let alone twice. So here we go. Here's your Hamas ambush. I'm going to go ahead and kill the music because screw Hamas. Their music sucks. Go ahead and turn that sucker way down. Again, you see what they are targeting here. They are not targeting an actual, like, infantry and or combat unit. This is a logistical supply unit. Notice the freaking Dodge Ram that's inside there. It is possible that this is, like, that is some contractors that are moving along with some of these supplies. It might be humanitarian aid. It could be medical aid. Hamas has no idea, but what they do know is that this is a soft target. And so I promise you, They sat there and waited on this ambush for a soft target to approach. There is plenty of hard targets that Hamas could have gone after, but in this particular case, they ended up showing a freaking soft target and targeting a soft target. That's also huge because it means that Hamas is like a little bit more weakened, right? That if they don't feel that they could take on actual military units and they've resulted back to like basic guerrilla style tactics, which is going after logistics, that means they're sucking pretty bad. They're conserving ammo and they don't have that much left. Yeah, you missed. Yeah, that's great, Hamas. You missed. Right? You suck. You missed your trigger point. But it was enough to derail the driver, probably cause a massive concussion, get him to go out. Maybe you blew a tire off the vehicle. Now, they ended up clearly adding this red effect. And I look at the windshield of that Humvee as well. It looks like there's a bunch of bullet holes on there. It's hard to tell if they digitally added that on afterwards or if that's like factual that they ended up like spraying through the window. I don't believe it because typically, you know, hitting a moving vehicle while you have all this other crap going on, shooting through the window and whatnot, a little bit freaking harder than you would actually think. And I would expect to see bullets in both of those windows as it ends up going through there because, you know, people, they're people. So there's no way that somebody is shooting on that nature, a Hamas fighter anyways, that's good of a shot that's going to get all of those freaking, you know, through the window. Oh, look, they forgot to put their uniforms on again. All right, this is just showing the IDF evacuating a casualty. It doesn't mean that this is the individual that ended up getting killed that I put up on the screen earlier, but it does mean that they are taking wounded. Now, these are the type of ambushes that I expect to be taking place all across Jabalia as the IDF continues to push inside of there. Remember how I said they're going to wait till they end up getting close? You're going to, like, basically, if I am going to be fighting a larger force or if I'm going to be fighting somebody that has air superiority, for example, I want to be able to take that air superiority. I want to be able to take that air superiority away from them. I'm going to have these ambush set up in near ambushes because that restricts, almost removes their ability to use air support. If I engage them from a great distance, then it opens that envelope up and allows them to freaking, you know, like engage with almost everything that they have. On these near ambushes that you're doing over there, number one, they're extremely deadly. For those that don't know, in a near ambush versus far ambush, near ambush is defined as within hand grenade range. Okay, so if I'm opening up on you and I can throw a freaking hand grenade and get it to land on your position, that's near ambush. And that's what the IDF is going to be dealing with over inside of Jabalia, over inside of Khan Yunis, Al-Mawasi, Nasrat refugee camp, anywhere that they're going into, that's what they're going to be running into. And they're very deadly. Your only option in these scenarios basically is to assault through. You get overwhelming fire superiority and you pick up and you assault through the freaking objective, or at least textbook, that's what ends up happening. Urban environment, it's a little bit different. I've seen it done a couple different ways, but it's a huge pain in the butt. And that's what the IDF is currently dealing with over there. And so that's what's going to make it so brutal and so deadly. And that's why I have, how do I want to say this? That's why I had such an issue with them waiting so long to go in. I understand the need to get the hostages back. I understand the public perception of that. But at the same time, every single day that the IDF was standing by and waiting for those hostages to get freaking pulled out, or you know, like, or to be exchanged or whatever, is a day that Hamas was able to set up an ambush just like I showed you. And so when we're talking about maybe 20 people left alive inside Gaza, the amount of lives that are going to be lost because of that, I mean, is unthinkable. And it's one of those things that it bothers me as a tactician. It bothers me as somebody that's, you know, had years of war. That's a pain in the freaking butt. Paul Koopa says, Matt, what was your furthest shot? On what weapons system? On what weapon system? I could tell you direct engagement into a human being. It was just a little over 800 meters with 7.62 NATO. When I say, all right, just a free gun Mark 19, it was a little over 1,700 meters on a moving target with a Mark 19, free gunning it. And with a crew operated weapon system, or I'm sorry, a computer remote operated weapon system, or a Crow 50 cal, it was well over 2 kilometers. And then if you want to talk about like what mortars, aircraft, you know, freaking you name it, man. And I've gone from point blank all the way out to 800 with, you know, rifle. And then everything else, it kind of varies. So when we ask these questions, like it's kind of specific and it's very pertinent to bring up the different types of weapon systems when it goes into that. Yep. And then the last time, and a funny story now that you bring this up, because it popped in my memory the other day. I don't normally tell combat stories or anything, but I was thinking about it because it just passed again. And so it's officially been 7 years. Make sure I did the math on that. 17, 18, 2025. It's officially been 7 years since I took somebody's life, which is pretty freaking wild. 7 years since I took somebody's life. And the last round I fired in combat was actually out of a 9mm on that particular objective. And I was the assault element on an objective. And as we're driving away from the objective, PKM opened up from a hillside as we're driving away. And I just out of just surely not caring, ended up pulling out my Glock and just cranking off rounds from the back of this truck as we were leaving the objective. Those were the last rounds I actually fired in combat. Last rounds I fired at a human being was actually 4 of them all online and moving. Pretty sure I hit 3 out of 4. They're about 50 meters out, at night. And I know they weren't happy at the end of the day. Here's an airstrike, coming in for you guys. Hell yeah. Wait, this is pretty. Look at that sucker, man. That is a beautiful freaking shot. Now, I see somebody that said, yeah, but you had a SCAR 17. I'm jealous. Yeah, so the SCAR is the 800, I think it was like 825, something around there. The 800 meter shot was with a SCAR 17. And the close-up one of the last 3 was actually with a Daniel defense build, believe it or not. And then just a stock Glock to freaking, you know, pop the rounds off into the freaking mount side. But check that out, man. That is one hell of a shot. One hell of a shot. 11 years, 136 days for me. I feel you are not wanting to talk about it. Yeah, Doc Rob. I mean, there's not a big reason to talk about it. I think, you know, people... you know, when we bring up combat, we start talking about experiences. Like, I've got no issue talking about it. That's just the thing. I just don't think it matters as much as people pretend that it does. You know, people will write books on all of their different combat experiences. And to me, when I read those things, it's a lot of the, hey, look at me. Look at this crazy shit that I've done. And then you end up getting things that are freaking, I don't want to say this, either overinflated, or 2, take away from the real story, right? Of like what actually took place. You know what I'm saying? If I told you about the last operation that I talked about, you know, cranking off the 9mm rounds and schwacking those 3 dudes, I think it takes away from a lot of the other things that actually took place, because that was those are tiny little footprints in a much bigger story. If we talk about the 800 meter shot again, those are tiny little footprints in a much bigger, broader story. And there was a bunch of people on the ground that allowed, right, that allowed those things to happen. When we talk about, you know, the 50 cal shot, for example, that I brought up off the Crow system. Well, that was because I was targeting people that ended up killing another Green Beret. Right. And I feel like that is the story I'd rather tell of that human being versus, hey, look at me and look at what I've done. And that is where people get lost. And I, exactly why I don't end up bringing all this crap up all the time. When I bring up the Mark 19 hit, right? When I bring up the Mark 19 hit, you know, that also is part of a much bigger story. I could bring up a 240 Bravo hit where I actually had Rob spotting for me, and that was 1700 meters away. There's a lot of different things that go into it. But the bottom line is, I think shooting people is just a tiny little portion of the job that a lot of people get their minds wrapped around. They think it's this big, crazy, freaking wazoo thing. And the reality is it eventually just turns into like smashing freaking spiders, you know? And that's it. We need the Tardio book. Weren't you working on one? Scotty, I looked into writing a book, and what I ended up discovering is that I have to lie, right? In order for me to write a book, I have to lie. I don't get to tell you the truth. And I can write books kind of like OJ Simpson did. I can tell little bits and pieces of it out of respect for the military. I can submit, you know, like the book for them for review and just watch them redact the shit out of it. But at the end of the day, I think that if there was going to be a book, that book is going to be about the men that I served with that I think are absolute heroes, that I think have done more for this country than anybody else has. But even then, I'm not allowed to tell their story correctly. And so to me, lying about other people is not okay, particularly the people that are no longer here. And it sucks, right? It sucks that you don't get to go and tell their story so that their memory kind of lives on. It's horrible. But it's the way the rules are written. But believe me, there is some greater, I don't want to say this. There is some greater stories. There is much bigger men than me, that actually exist out in this world, and they're absolute heroes. And some of the things that I've seen people do, I mean, I wish I could tell you the tales of some of these freaking people. But they've done some amazing things, man. And I don't like having all of that focus. I understand that I've got like this down in the bottom of my screen, right? This is like my qualification though, for what it is I'm talking about, right? This crap that's up over behind me, all of this, these are like my qualifications that allow me to talk about this stuff. But when I go in and I start telling war stories, or I start telling tales, and I have to change things, I'm not a big fan of that. You know, I could tell you the little bits and pieces because I'm not giving you location. I'm not giving you a time frame. There's different things that you have to change up when you're actually doing it. I had to look into all this crap to figure it out. So yeah, if I was to write a book, maybe it would be about back home and the effects of what it takes, like back here at home. If I was to write a book, it would be about some of these different people and where they were at and the different things that they ended up doing before they went. I don't know. But it's tough for me to know that in order to write a book, I have to lie. I'm not okay with that at all. Not at all. So the people that are okay with that, I don't know, man. But I'm not about doing that to freaking make money. I'm not about doing that to overinflate myself of who I am or anything else. And I really feel like the attention should go to the guys that did give their all. And most combat vets will sit back and tell you that no matter how much we've done, that it's never enough because we're still alive. Right? Like survivor's guilt's a very real thing. After my last tour, when I ended up getting home, I checked myself into the TBI clinic, and I was basically rehabbing myself every single morning. Working alongside some physical trainers. I'd go over and I'd check with the TBI doc. I was doing speech therapy. I was doing all sorts of crap trying to get myself back on the road. And I had sat down inside the TBI clinic one day, and and I'm meeting up with the doc, and he's going over my MRIs. And he says, hey, look, brother, I think we can rehab you. I think we can get you back out there. But at the same time, he's like, I don't know how many more that you can take. Right. And I'm sitting there and I got to think about my kids. I got to think about everything. And he says, he looked at me and he goes, cause he saw me thinking about it after he told me that, like, not sure how many more freaking shocks, you know, shots your head can take. And, when he ended up saying that, I kind of like put my head down. I started thinking about my kids. I started thinking about a lot of different things. And he goes, hey, Matt. And I look up at the doc and he goes, hey, man, you've done enough. You should take this retirement. You've done enough. And hearing a doctor tell me that was very, eye-opening, right? Somebody with an outside perspective, and I'm not going to lie, it brought freaking tears to my eyes when I heard the doctor tell me that, because that's exactly what had been on my mind. Have I done enough? Right? Have I pushed hard enough? Have I actually made this it? And hearing that come from somebody else to me was something where I was like, okay, yep, I can focus on myself. I can focus on my family. It's crazy. And it's crazy. It's crazy to think that all that takes place. But as far as writing a book goes, nah, man, I think I'm a little bit beyond writing a book. It's not something that I want to deal with, to be perfectly honest with you, at all. Just, yeah. All right, guys. I'm running a little bit behind this morning, obviously. I told you that I've got a meeting with Nate Vance I'm trying to make. I'm now an hour behind on that, so I'm going to take off and do that. I'm going to do my best to crank out another video for you guys. Make sure you got your notifications turned on. Make sure you subscribe to the channel. Encourage everybody to become a true supporter. Every single human being that's watching this right now, I encourage you, if you're not yet, become a true supporter. I encourage you to like and share this video. Like I said, we're under freaking like attack by these sex bots. I don't know if it's the Palestinians or the Russians or who the hell is doing it, or just a bunch of freaking liberals with money, man. I couldn't tell you. But make sure that you end up, you know, blasting that out and continue to share this channel and come back. I'll be back right back here at 9 a.m. Central Standard Time. I'll be right back here tonight, 9 p.m. Central Standard Time. I love you guys very much. Thank you guys for all your continued support and everything that you do for this channel. And I will keep the facts running. Peace, love, happiness. God bless, ladies and gentlemen.